Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome you to Prophecy Quake. I am Pastor Dean Odell, your host tonight, and with us in a little while will be Pastor Billy Painter, and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson's with us as co-host. And again, we welcome you to Prophecy Quake. This is part of the ministry of Fire and Grace Church here in the Auburn, Opelika area in Alabama, and also Dean Odell Ministries. But again, we welcome you and hope you're having a blessed evening. Of course, for those of you who have tuned in, we have a call-in number that you can call if you're on Blog Talk Radio. Our site there, you'll see the guest call-in number is 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566. And as we get into this subject tonight, we would love to have your phone calls, your questions or comments. But we're going to get into it tonight. Of course, as many of you have already seen, our subject tonight is going to be the satanic corruption of the prophetic movement, part two. We covered a lot of it last week. If you missed that, of course, you can go to our page there on blogtalkradio.com/Dean Odell, and you can go to the archived messages and listen to last week to catch up. We're going to continue looking at the prophetic movement and how that Satan has gotten in and corrupted much of the modern prophetic movement, just as Jesus said, actually, that it would happen. He said in the last days, in Matthew 24, when his disciples asked him, what would be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name and will deceive many. Then, of course, we know in Matthew 24, verse 24, he made it even more clear when he said, false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and that they would show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Now, this is where it gets tricky in the body of Christ. When people come in the name of Jesus, they may even, they claim to be Christians, they sound like Christians. Some of them may even in their heart truly be Christians and be totally deceived and taken over by spirits of deception, or what Paul said, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons in 1 Timothy 4:1. But we're going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight before we delve into this and before we get into some of the names of the people out here that are promoting some of these very, very dangerous and false teachings and even occultic techniques, some borrowed from Hinduism and Buddhism, others borrowed straight from witchcraft. And, of course, we're going to get into the subject, too, tonight of angels and praying to angels. Is it right to pray to angels? This is a common practice in Roman Catholicism, but now it's become a common practice within parts of the Pentecostal and Charismatic Church, and even part of the Evangelical Church that's transitioning over into what we would call, what is being called the postmodern movement or the emerging church movement. There are a lot of ministers, and I even know some. I have some personal friends, I guess I would say former friends now, who they don't really like me anymore, but I've watched them over the course of their life over the last 20 years move away from the foundational doctrines of the Bible, of true Christianity, and move into this realm where they begin to accept Eastern meditative techniques and visualization, and they begin to get back into Roman Catholicism and looking at the Roman Catholic mystics like St. Francis of Assisi or Teresa of Avila or St. Bernard of Clairvaux or all these different mystics. A more recent mystic, of course, within the Catholic Church was a priest, a Trappist monk, by the name of Thomas Merton, who's had great influence on basically infiltrating the church with Eastern mysticism. Before we read this, I want to make it very clear to everyone listening. We may have some new listeners to Prophecy Quake. I've been in the ministry now for 27 years. I'm pastored. I've done missionary work. I've been part of big churches and small churches. Have a deliverance ministry. But let me just say this very clearly. I believe in the supernatural. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 there and 8, where it talks very clearly, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've seen people healed, miraculously healed. I've seen miracles. I've seen the Lord Jesus help me and others cast demons out of people and seen people set free and delivered and totally transformed by the power of God. I've seen deaf ears open. I've had visions and dreams that are prophetic, operating the gifts of the Spirit, and I know many people who operate in the true, genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit. But having said that, the Bible does not tell us to be ignorant or to ignore the fact that Satan can counterfeit supernatural manifestations. Satan can do miracles. Demons do miracles. The fallen angels can appear, as the Bible said, Paul said, as angels of light and do supernatural signs and wonders, even healing, even manifestations that we'll talk about a little bit later, like the stigmata and other things. But the Bible, God gave us the Bible, the written word of God, and he gave his true believers first the written word, and then he gave us his Holy Spirit to be able to discern what is a true supernatural event in our life. What is a true miracle? Is it truly from God, or is it a deceptive miracle? Is it a true gift of the Spirit, or is it Satan and demon spirits trying to deceive us? This issue is paramount to the church. Again, I cannot stress enough, everybody, because as you well know, that we are about end-time Bible prophecy here. We believe that we're living in the last days, that we're drawing very near the time, that we will enter the last 7 years before the return of Jesus Christ, called by some the tribulation, the great tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble. We're about to enter that time of great trouble. We are approaching the second coming of Jesus, and the warnings about false prophets, about demonic signs and wonders, about false teachers and false prophets and deception getting hold, not in the world. The world's already deceived and in darkness and in blindness. The Bible has warned us. Paul warned us. Jesus warned us. Peter warned us that deception would be on a massive scale and be so subtle and so slick that even people very devoted to Jesus and to walking with him could be deceived. And many are, and that's a fact. Now, we're going to look at something in the book of Revelation as we begin this tonight. And this is just to set the stage because, you know, I have some brothers that I love dearly. And that, you know, we don't always agree on everything, but we still love each other and we listen to each other. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there and a lot of good brothers who just find it very difficult to start naming names and confronting problems in the church world because, you know, they just don't want to hurt anybody. And I just want to say up front, I don't want to hurt anyone. That's not my goal here. The goal to confront error, to confront deception, to confront when a brother or sister is getting off into a dangerous area, to confront that is really showing that you love them and you love the people around them and hoping that they will hear you and they will repent and come back to the truth. That's the job, really. Fivefold ministers are called to do that. But let's read in the book of Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 18 about the church of Thyatira. And, of course, this is John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus appearing to him and speaking to him concerning seven churches in Asia. And he reveals, Jesus does to him, what is going on in these churches and what he needs to tell them to deal with, to correct, or else. And we're going to look at the church of Thyatira, and I actually personally believe that each one of these examples were given to us of these churches, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Laodicea and Philadelphia and so on. These were given to us to deal with, I think, these are problems and issues that come up in the personal lives of Christians and also in churches and in movements. But this one's going to address the prophetic movement. And listen to me right now. Again, I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the modern prophetic movement, I'm going to show you, particularly in America, the modern prophetic movement was corrupted. It was infiltrated by Satan, by deceiving spirits, and they have transferred those spirits now to hundreds of thousands, millions of people. Spread it, sadly, for my brothers over in England across the pond. They've spread it over there as well. But let's read this. Revelation 2, verse 18. Jesus speaking to John says, "And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." So let's express this first. Jesus, first of all, says, hey, I know that as a church, you have works. You're diligent. You're trying to be about the Father's business. So here's a church trying to do good works. Here's a church trying to work for God. He says, I know your charity, or that is the Greek word agape. I know your love, the love of God that is flowing through you. You do love people. You care about people. You love each other. He says that. Your service. You have servant hearts and tremendous faith. So he's commending them. He said, you have patience. So he's not saying that you're not a church, that you're a false church. You're a fake. You're a phony. No, he's saying, okay, I'm speaking to a church that has some good things going on. And see, I'm going to be addressing some ministries out there that people are just fawning over. There's ministries that have allowed these things in. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying that everything they preach is wrong. I'm not saying that even their intentions or their works are all completely wrong. But that does not mean that we ignore serious and dangerous problems. And that's why Jesus went on to say, but there's a problem. So let's read it. He said, verse 19 again, he said, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus said, I know your works, your charity and service and faith and your patience and your works and the last to be more than the first. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because you suffer or allow that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, verse 23 is rough. And he says, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the hearts and give unto every man according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, what doctrine? Putting up with a false prophetess. He says, but to the rest of you in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put none other burden on you, none other burden. But that which you already have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So here we have a church. Now, I brought this up to my brother that we were discussing this the other day. I brought this up. I said, here we have a church that's got some good things going on. So we got a ministry that's preaching some good things, teaching some good things, loving people, servants' hearts, all open to the prophetic. And that's a good thing. You know, I believe, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is very clear. Let the prophet speak and let the others judge. It says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Let these things be in the church, done decently and in order. So here you have a church that was allowing a woman who called herself a prophetess to minister. The problem is she was teaching things that were seducing servants, true Christians, into the word fornication here means sexual immorality, but it can also mean, in the Greek, the word pornia doesn't just mean sexual immorality, and of course it covers all sexual immorality from homosexuality to incest to premarital sex. It covers all. The word is all-encompassing. But he says here it also depicts idolatry. And then he says this, that not only does she seduce them into sexual immorality, idolatry, but to eat things sacrificed to idols, and that means into paganism, pagan practices. Now, here's what's amazing. I posed this question to my friend and my brother that we were talking with about this, and I said, how in the world could this woman have deceived first century pastors and elders if she did not have some signs and wonders and some supernatural things going on? They received her. They let her teach in the church. They let her become one of the Sunday school teachers or one of the leaders or whatever you want to call it. They let her. And they let her do this and really didn't pay attention to the spiritual forces working behind this woman and the subtle deception she was putting in, and it was causing Christians to fall into sin and to fall into compromise and to open themselves up to demon spirits, because whenever you compromise with sexual sin, idolatry, or pagan practices, you open yourself up to demonic defilement. And the moment you do that, you're headed down a dark and bad road. And this is so serious in this church that Jesus said, I gave this woman an opportunity to repent, and she would not. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast her into a bed. Basically, I'm going to let her stay there. And those who keep on, and the word, it says, them that commit adultery with her. The word commit is a present tense Greek verb, which means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. So he says, those who keep on fellowshipping with her and tolerating her and exalting her and listening to her teaching and letting her minister to them and working with her, says, you keep flowing with this false prophetic thing, then I'm going to cast you into a bed with her, and you're going to go into great tribulation, and it's going to begin to affect your children. I'm going to kill her children with death. And folks, I shared a little bit of this last week, but it is amazing that in this contaminated, corrupted prophetic movement, how many of them are getting cancer and dying. And this is not a game. And I could name specific names, but here's the whammy in this to me, the big wham. Jesus calls this the false prophetic deception in the church. He calls it the depths of Satan, the deep, hidden, mysterious force of Satan. This is not tiddlywinks. This is not a game of marbles. This is serious. And I find too many people in the church world who just say, yeah, I know that these prophets miss it all the time. I know they get into weirdness. I know this, I know that. But, you know, they talk about Jesus. Well, you know, we got to be careful. We can't touch the Lord's anointed. Well, you know, they have, you know, 12 visions a night. Well, you know, an angel appeared to them. Well, The Bible says this about the prophetic. Very clear. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, quench not the spirit, buys not prophesying, but it says this, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now, how do we prove all things? We test it by the word of God first, and then by the Spirit of God, and we discern whether it is the Holy Spirit working according, and the Holy Spirit will always work according to the Bible. He will not work contrary to what is written. And we have to judge these things by those two factors. Number one, the written word. Number two, by the witness and direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, we're going to take a break for just a second. We're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to bring on our brother and Pastor Billy here with us. He's on the line, and we're going to bring him back, and we're going to delve into this subject a little more. A lot of this material, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, a lot of this material, God had me study and research, and of course, as I shared last week, this is not something that I just read in a book or picked up on the internet, or I've had face-to-face dealings with many of these, not all of them, but a lot of these ministers and prophets that are now, I believe, off, way off in La La Land. Many of them are praying to angels. Many of them are talking about female angels, which there's no such thing in the Bible as female angels. We'll discuss that as well. But we're going to delve into this, and we will name some names, and we have some clips of these people and exactly what they say and exactly what they're teaching and preaching from their own mouths. And you'll hear it for yourself that there's some dangerous stuff creeping in to the church. But I want you to stay with us. You're listening to Prophecy Quake, of course, and I'm Pastor Dean Odle, and our subject tonight, of course, is the satanic corruption of the prophetic movement. I think you're going to be shocked, so stay with us if you can. Called it hyper grace. The Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival, today at deanodle.org. Grace is not a license to sin. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good to be back. We're going to bring on Pastor Billy Painter to be with us. Are you with us there, Pastor Billy?
Yes, sir, my brother. How are you fellas doing this evening?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Most excellent. Thank you.
Well, all right. You heard the introduction. Are you ready to go?
Let's go for it, man. This is a topic that is so timely and much needed to be put forth. And it's going to open people's eyes and blow some minds, no doubt about it.
Well, you know, I remember last week you read a passage of Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and I want to read that before we get into this tonight, because I'm actually going to look at, to start us off here before we play some of the clips, going to look at chapter 11 of my book, The Polluted Church, From Rome to Kansas City. We're going to look at chapter 11 entitled Edgar Cayce, Bob Jones, and Todd Bentley. I want to read the passage of Scripture because it's very important, but Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 through 3 says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods." Now, I put in parentheses here, gods are demons or demonic power disguised by any name. See, we get caught up sometimes. Oh, well, they're pointing us to Jesus. If they point us to Jesus, then they're not pointing us to other gods. No, these gods are demons. If they point us to demons or demonic power or things that are from other pagan religions, be very careful. I don't care if they mix Jesus into it too. God doesn't like mixture. So I'm going to read that again. It says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods," demons, we'll say, even fallen angels, "which thou hast not known, and let us serve them." And of course, serve in the Hebrew means to work for or to be enslaved by those gods. "You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you." He's letting you know these false prophets, even when certain things happen that they say, certain miracles happen, or they give you a prophecy and it comes to pass, it's still to test you. God said, "For the Lord your God does prove you, test you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Here's a big news flash. False prophets are to test our love for God. Whew. Think about that one for a second.
That's heavy.
It is. Because, you know, I mean, a true Christian doesn't want to hurt, you know, doesn't want to speak against somebody. I mean, it's, you know, we want to just love people and get along with people for the most part. Some of us do. Some of us know better that that's just that's a pipe dream. That's Pollyanna. That's not reality, right?
Amen. Amen.
Well, let's look first. Let's look at you know, a lot of people listening and those who are listening tonight and those who may listen to, we have many people who listen to the archive broadcast as well, but there's a lot of people, especially in this generation, that have never even heard of the prophet Edgar Cayce. You can look him up. There's a lot of articles out there. There's still, you know, he passed away some time ago, but there's still many articles about him. He lived from 1877 to 1945, and most people, again, like they've never heard of him, but he was really a false prophet, even though he claimed to be a Christian. He actually also taught a Sunday school class in a church. But he really was a psychic. He was a false prophet. And, of course, over time, his supernatural abilities and his predictive prophetic abilities began to be revealed because of what he began to teach and the things that he began to say. But he was very accurate. Like for instance, Cayce was able to accurately predict many events and discoveries, like the stock market crash of 1929. He predicted that before it happened. He predicted the fall of the Soviet Union. He and also the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, he predicted.
And he didn't just predict they would be found. He predicted when they would happen, exactly when. He also predicted the magnetic shift of the Earth's poles that happened in 1998, which was confirmed by NASA. He also diagnosed many illnesses in his trance. He would go into a trance, like complete trance state, and he would give these readings while he was in a trance. And here's the thing. Many people were supernaturally healed by Edward Casey's supernatural gifts, but Casey was not a true Christian prophet. How do we know that? Well, he's even by New Agers and people, he's even called the father of the New Age movement. Let's just keep going here. I'll share a few more things. Of course, Edgar's supernatural abilities were impressive to say the least, but of course, many people at the time believed that he was operating in the power of Jesus Christ because he claimed to be a Christian. But especially, well, what if he was around today? Oh man, he'd be driving, you know, a Mercedes and have a $6 million house, and you know, I mean, he could have done it upright. But let's just go from him. We know, of course, that he got into teaching things that were not correct. He got into teaching things about, you know, that we were all children of God, and of course universalism came into play, that everyone's going to go to heaven, and of course he just got into all that kind of thing, talking about the Buddha consciousness and the Christ consciousness. And so he did not teach the biblical truth. He ended up not teaching that Jesus was and is God Almighty, who became a human man in order to shed his blood for the sins of mankind. So, you know, Casey's Jesus was just a man who became a god. He believed like Buddha did and others. So, it's noted that he is the father of the New Age movement and holistic healing. But, of course, there's never going to be just one, is there? One false prophet come along with supernatural abilities. I mean, I hope no one believes that anyway. Let's look at this right here. Last week we played a clip from an interview on Patricia King's show, The Extreme Prophetic. It was Patricia King, who claims to be a prophetess, and, of course, it was Bob Jones, the late prophet, who was really, I would say, the main catalyst, the main spiritual father and promoter and everything of what I would say the modern prophetic movement. It's in America today. Of course, he had great influence in the beginning of IHOP with Mike Bickle. He was there for many years. Then, of course, he moved on and worked with Rick Joyner of Morningstar. And the list goes on and on. He, of course, had influence on Todd Bentley, John Paul Jackson, Bobby Connor. I mean, we could go down the list of many of those different prophets, and some of them we're going to hear from tonight, that Bob Jones had great, great influence on. And, of course, we shared last week how he was in that on that show with Patricia King and Todd Bentley, and how they were talking about traveling outside of your body, your spirit leaving your body and traveling through the second heaven to the third heaven, and that you can go by faith to the third heaven and visit God and see the glory and the white light and the angels and all this stuff, and you can pass through the second heaven. And, of course, we read a lot of that. We talked about how that was just – that practice is what's called by witches and Satanists and Kabbalists and Muslim Sufis and Buddhists and Hindus. I mean, that's what they call, of course, astral projection, astral travel. That's the goal. That's what they're seeking to be able to do through the chanting, the meditation techniques that they use, the visualization techniques they use, that are all in Hinduism and Buddhism and all these ancient, you know, these pagan religions. They're trying to connect with the consciousness that's on the inside. And what they use these words like the divine spark that's within us, or they talk about the God consciousness or that's in us. But what it really is they're finally getting in touch with their human spirit, and they're learning through a demonic link to connect that human spirit and soul together so that they can travel outside of their body and experience the spirit realm, whether it's just seeing into the spirit realm or literally traveling other places. And as you well know, Billy, you know that this is not some weird thing, that even our own government has paid a great price to do research on astral projection and soul travel, or what they call remote viewing. And, you know, they even made a movie about the experiments they were doing and the research they were doing, that movie with Bridges and with Clooney, Men Who Stare at Goats or something like that. I can't remember. I never saw it, but I saw the previews, and I knew the road they were going down. But here's where we're going to get into a little bit tonight. Of course, I know that Bob Jones, personally, he laid hands on me and transferred some very powerful demons to me. I watched his ministry over many years. We had to pray over everyone in our church after going to one of his meetings and just break off every demonic, unclean, foul spirit that he transferred through his prophetic ministry and laying hands on people. And it just blew my mind how many people were deceived by the guy. Of course, Mike Bickle, when he started IHOP back in, or when he started his ministry, he didn't really start IHOP until 1999, but he started his ministry in Kansas City back in the early 1980s, around 1983, and that's when Bob Jones showed up. Now, here's what's amazing. What a lot of people don't know is that Mike Bickle had gone to a meeting somewhere, and a prophet had warned him, had basically given him a word that he was going to start a ministry, that it was going to be a prayer and worship ministry that would eventually go 24 hours a day, that young people would come to him from all over, that he would have great influence. All, I believe, a true word from the Lord and God's plan for his life. But this prophet also warned him that a false prophet would come in the beginning to derail the entire thing, to contaminate and pollute the entire thing and to be warned. Well, when Bob Jones first showed up, Mike Bickle admitted he thought, yep, this is the one. But because some things that Bob prophesied, like snow in the wintertime and earthquakes happening when he said they were going to happen and these things, because these words, so-called words from God, which weren't really words from God, came to pass, Mike Bickle accepted Bob Jones as a true prophet. And when that happened, the doors were opened. Go ahead, brother.
No, I said, and that's when the doors were opened. Exactly, yeah.
And here's where it starts getting weird. I mean, you want to talk about getting weird, all right? Here is something that Bob Jones says that ought to blow people out of the water. Now, let me just, I got to lay this foundation real quick here because this is important. The Bible, from cover to cover, I've read it, I've studied it, I've meditated on the Word of God and researched and written books and preached for 27 years, studying Hebrew, studying Greek words, studying the dictionary, you know, just studying the Bible. I've been through it pretty thoroughly. Now, I'm not, there's people out there like Dr. Michael Brown that I respect. It's a lot smarter than me and knows a lot more than me. So I'm not trying to say, hey, I know, but I'm just saying I know the Bible, all right? Nowhere in the Bible do we ever see the Bible speaking of female angels. Now, I know some people try to use the passage in Zechariah 5 because they see two women with wings of a stork carrying wickedness. I got news for you, folks. God's angels don't carry wickedness, nor do God's angels have the wings of an unclean bird, as the Bible says that the stork's wings, a stork is an unclean animal, according to the Old Testament scripture. So those aren't angels of God. Every time. Can I say that again? Kevin?
Every.
Billy? Those listening, can I say it one more time, that
yes, sir.
Nowhere in the Bible, not one place, is ever an angel or any angelic being depicted in female form, ever. They're referred to as he again and again and again and again. They're referred to in other places as the sons of God, They're also the fallen angels who fell and came to earth. Isn't it amazing that none of them were female? Because it says that we know from Genesis 6, in the days of Noah, it says that these fallen angels looked upon human women and were able to have sexual relations with them and create the race of giants or the Nephilim. So we know that not only were they considered male, they must have had male parts. Capiche? And obviously working parts, because they were able to father children with human women. So this is bordering on ridiculous when we have prophets out there and preachers and priests and popes who say that there are female angels or entities, and of course advocate also praying to them. This blows my mind. Of course, I did a little looking today. Of course, I know it's taught in the Roman Catholic Church, you know, about praying to Mary. And so I looked up. I just did a little, you know, little search. I said, praying to angels. So guess where it took me to? It took me to a website here, www.catholic.com. Quick questions. Why pray to angels? Right? So here's the thing. Here's the question that somebody wrote in to thecatholic.com. And they said, I'm not sure I understand praying to angels for support. I wonder why. Because it's not in the Bible. Okay? Unlike saints who are part of the body of Christ, angels have a different nature. Can you help me with the teachings on this and where they originated? Okay? So we're going to get into two aspects here. We're looking at the subject of, are there female angels? And the other subject, do we pray to angels, right? So let's see what this Catholic priest answered the question. And this is answered by Father Vincent Serpa, right? And he said this. He said, the angels are spiritual beings who have a free will and an intellect, and that is far superior to ours. The evil ones dwell in hell. Now, I don't know where he's getting all this from, but the holy ones dwell in heaven and are therefore considered to be saints. Whosoever is in heaven is a saint. God uses angels as messengers, guardians, and all-around helpers to us, as well as to reflect his glory. All right? Then he says this, in Tobit 12, verse 12. Now, is anybody listening? Because if you know your Bibles, there's no book of Tobit in your Bible, all right? The book of Tobit, or Tobias, the book of Tobit is an apocrypha. It's in the apocrypha. It's a book that was not accepted by the early church fathers. It didn't come about anyway until the mid-4th century or so, and it's full of, can I just say it, crap that's not from God. Somebody's fanciful spiritual religious stories, it's full of junk. See, they have to go outside of the Bible to find this mess. So this priest gives the answer, and he says in the book of Tobit 12, verse 12, he says, the archangel Raphael said to Tobias, so now when you and Sarah prayed, it was I who brought and read the record of your prayer before the glory of the Lord. Now, this angel's claiming that he took the prayer to God. Wait a minute. God can't just receive it directly? He can't hear it when you pray it? No, it's ridiculous, right? But he said, I brought and read your record of your prayer before the glory of the Lord. Now, this is the reason for this. The devil has these fake, phony books like this to get people focused on angels instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God alone, right? So he says here in Tobit 12, 14 through 16, we read, and at the same time, God sent me to heal you and Sarah, your daughter-in-law. I am Raphael, one of the seven angels who stand ready and enter before the glory of the Lord. The two of them were shaken. They fell down, face down, for they were afraid. And, of course, this was taken from the Catholic Encyclopedia entry on angels. And so the answer was by Father Vincent Serapa. So the Roman Catholic Church says, advocates here from this Book of Tobit, this apocryphal book, not only can you pray to angels, but that they're the ones who will bring your prayers before God. They're the ones who will bring healing to you. Folks, hear what I'm about to say. Colossians chapter 1 and 2 talks about there about not falling after the philosophies of men. And it says warning, it warns us not to be beguiled or deceived into worshiping angels. The word worshiping means adoring, revering, respect. You don't get into worshiping angels. Now let me say something else too. The Bible is clear that we don't pray to anyone or anything or any being other than God Almighty. We don't pray to a tree. We don't pray to a statue. We don't pray to a dead saint, to a dead pope. We don't pray to angels, whether they be angels in heaven or fallen angels. We don't talk to them. Jesus said, when we pray, remember when the disciples asked him that simple question, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray. How do we pray? And he said, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He didn't say, ask an angel to go pray for you. You got to get Gabriel to carry your message over there. No, he said, you pray to the Father in my name. Never once did he say, pray to an angel. Never once did he say, invoke an angel. Never once did he say, pray to a dead person who may be in heaven or may not be. Never does the Bible instruct us. And this is why this is so dangerous, is because the moment we do this, we are committing the sin of idolatry. We are opening the door to demon spirits, and we are literally beginning a fellowship, an intimacy, a partaking in with demonic forces. And we're going to be deceived. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be misled. We may even be made sick and have destruction and mental problems. We may have all kinds of stuff come into our lives. Now that we see that this originates with the Roman Catholic Church, what on earth are evangelical Christians, Protestant Christians, both Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian who are getting into the emerging church, and even now as we're going to look at charismatic and Pentecostal ministers, what in the world are they doing praying, talking to angels? What are they doing accepting female angels and saying that female angels are real and not demonic? Here's the, we just depart from the Bible. We just depart from the Bible and think that that's not going to be a problem. No. Let's look at it. Brother, I know I'm just rambling on here, but this is, it's so much we got to try to get into here.
Oh, definitely.
I want to give because here we have Bob Jones, really the father, the prophet Bob Jones, the late Bob Jones. He just passed away recently. This prophet who's the father of this movement, who so many of these men look to as their one of their mentors, as one of their heroes, as one of their people to emulate. And we find out from the get-go that this man was in cahoots with an angel named Emma, a female angel, that he says started the prophetic movement in Kansas City with Mike Bickle that became known as the Kansas City Prophets, that became known as the modern prophetic movement in America. And he stated that it was all started by an angel named Emma, a female angel. And I'm going to read this. This is Bentley's account. And I said this a minute ago, but this is just from my book, page 177. Or I said, Bob Jones has also served as the chief mentor to many of the present-day prophets in the charismatic church world. And as I stated previously, one of his more recent disciples is the former leader of the 2008 Lakeland Revival, Todd Bentley. Shortly after Jones told Bentley about a female angel named Emma that appears to him, she appeared in one of Bentley's meetings and was accompanied by strange manifestations.
Here is Bentley's account. Within a few weeks of Bob asking me about Emma, I was in a service in Beulah, North Dakota. In the middle of the service, I was in conversation with Ivan and another person when in walks Emma. As I stared at the angel with open eyes, the Lord said, "Here's Emma." I'm not kidding. She floated a couple of inches off the floor. It was almost like Katherine Kuhlman in those old videos when she wore a white dress and looked like she was gliding across the platform. Emma appeared beautiful and young, about 22 years old, but she was old at the same time. She seemed to carry the wisdom, virtue, and grace of Proverbs 31 on her life. She glided into the room, emitting brilliant light and colors. Emma carried these bags and began pulling gold out of them. Then as she walked up and down the aisles of the church, she began putting gold dust on people. "God, what is happening?" I asked. The Lord answered, "She is releasing the gold, which is both the revelation and the financial breakthrough that I'm bringing into this church." He said, "I want you to prophesy that Emma showed up in this service. The same angel that appeared in Kansas City as a sign that I am endorsing and releasing a prophetic spirit in the church." Within 3 weeks of that visitation, the church had given me the biggest offering I'd ever received to that point in ministry, thousands of dollars, thousands, even though the entire community consisted of only 3,000 people. Weeks after I left the church, the pastor testified that the church offerings had either doubled or tripled. Now, isn't that a sign and wonder? It's all about the money. During this visitation, the pastor's wife, and this was an Assembly of God church now, got totally whacked by the Holy Ghost, he says. This is Todd Bentley still saying. She began running around, barking like a dog or squawking like a chicken as a powerful prophetic spirit came on her. Really? I don't see anybody in the Bible barking like a dog and squawking like a chicken unless they're demon-possessed.
You know, I saw the video of that happening, and it just blew my mind. I was like, there's no place in the Bible that says that takes place. That's
no.
A telltale sign there.
And we know where it's practiced. It's practiced. You see this kind of demonic manifestations in voodoo and among people coming under demonic possession. Here's what he went on to say. He said, "Also, as this prophetic anointing came on her, she started getting phone numbers of complete strangers and calling them up on the telephone and prophesying over them. She would tell them that God gave her their telephone number and then would give them words of knowledge, complete strangers. Then angels started showing up in the church. I believe," this is Bentley saying, "I believe Emma released a financial and prophetic anointing in that place. That was the first angel that I have ever seen in the form of a woman. Some angels I've seen seemed like they were neither male nor female. However, Emma appeared as a woman who was like a Deborah, like a mother in Zion. When she came, she began to mentor, nurture, open up a prophetic well. The people in the church began having trances and visions, and the pastor began getting words of knowledge and moving and healing. That congregation also saw more financial breakthrough than they had ever seen before." Now, later, after this, Todd Bentley told Bob Jones that Emma had appeared to him, and this is what Bob said. Bob said, quote, this is the prophet Bob Jones said, "Emma was the angel that helped birth and start the whole prophetic movement in Kansas City in the 1980s. She is a mothering type angel that helped nurture the prophetic as it broke out." Are you kidding me? A mothering type angel? Where is this in the Bible? Let me just tell you something. You know where I found it? Not in the Bible. In the teaching of the Kabbalah, the occult mysticism, the Jewish occult mysticism called the Kabbalah. You know that Madonna's into? Yeah. Uh-huh. That satanic Jewish occultism witchcraft called the Kabbalah, they have what they call two deities. One is a fathering, and the other one is a mothering, and even the word, they call her Emma as well. It gets even more weird when you realize this. Now, listen to this. I did a little more research,
and found out that there's a female spiritual entity, not only in Kabbalah mysticism called Emma, but she is known as the mother who receives from Abba Father, right? Now, this is what it says about her in the Kabbalah, that she is the inner spiritual power to hear, meditate upon, and to contemplate a truth until it becomes fully internalized in one's conscience. So what they're saying is Emma is there to help in your meditation. Okay? So again, once you get into Eastern meditation, you're going to come on. Now get this. There's also a Japanese Buddhist god called Emma O. And here's what's interesting. Their god, Emma O, is the god of the underworld, who lives in yellow springs under the earth in a huge castle covered in silver and gold and pearls and jewels. And she's known as the judge of the dead. So when Todd Bentley said here that his Emma angel opened up a prophetic well in that church and that the demon god Emma O is said to live in springs under the earth, he also said that his Emma angel carried bags and began pulling gold out of them. And we see that the demon Emma O is associated with gold, silver, and precious jewels, financial prosperity. Oh. I said, so this female spirit entity is connected with the occult meditation and contemplation, which is something that Bentley teaches. Blown away here, right? Now that you know that Emma is in the Kabbalah about meditation and visualization, she's connected to that, and that Emma O is in Buddhism and is connected to gold and silver and precious jewels, we're going to play a clip now. All right? Y'all, I want everyone to stay here. I want you to hear this. This clip that we're about to play is going to blow your mind. Of course, let me back up. We're going to play two clips. But let me back up and say this, that Todd Bentley, of course, at the Lakeland Revival, tried to draw back from this Emma female angel thing. He tried to denounce it, or he tried to step back away from it. But there was too much information out there. But what we're going to play here first for you is Bobby Connor, who's a prophet, one of the prophets in with the Morning Star Group, and well-known among that group of people in the charismatic movement. But this is the proof that Bob Jones did talk about Emma, even if Todd Bentley tries to deny this now. This is proof that Bob Jones talked to Bobby Connor about it and claimed that this angel was the angel that brought healing. So the first clip we're going to play, it's 3 minutes long. This is Prophet Bobby Connor. He's at Bethel Church in Redding, California, Bill Johnson's church. And this is in 2013, and he's talking about his conversation with Bob Jones and the angel Emma. So let's play that clip, and we'll be back in just a second.
People, maybe 1,500. And so Whitney and Bob are sitting there in the chairs, and Bob looks over there at me, and he goes, "Damn." And I'm not making fun of him. I don't have room to make fun of anybody. Bob goes, "Damn. We're going to have a lot of healings tonight." I said to Bob, "How do you know that?" And he said to me, "Emma's here." I said, "Who?" Bob Jones said to me, "Emma." I said, "Emma who?" He looked at me and he said, "Now, you don't like it, but Joe, that's your Emma the angel." Now, I'm sitting on the platform. I've never in my whole life heard of Emma the angel. So I said to Bob, and we're mic'd up. Now, the people are like this. I said, "You mean to tell me there's an angel in this room named Emma?" He goes, "Yeah." I said to him, "I don't see her." And he's getting mad. "Well, she's here." And I said to Bob, "If you can see her, I can see her." And he goes, "Well, she's here." So I said to God, "Hey, God, if there's an angel in this room named Emma, I want to see her." So I stopped all the talking. I started looking. I looked all the way down this row, all the way back to the balcony, all the way down. I looked the whole room over. I mean, I looked the whole room over. And I said to Bob, "I don't see an angel named Emma." He's real mad now. "Damn it. She's here." And I knew Bob wasn't lying. So I said, "God, open my eyes that I may see." Remember, I looked. It's another thing when he allows you to see. So now, this is the absolute truth. I said, Lord, open my eyes that I can see what Bob's seeing. When I said that, open my eyes that I may see, back at the very back of the building, Bill, I saw what appeared, you know, like a shadow against the wall, and the shadow steps out like this. Now I see what appeared to me to be a small lady in a brown, shiny headscarf and a soft, long coat down to her feet, standing there like this. So I said to Bob, hey, Bob, does she have on a shiny brown headscarf and a long brown coat? And he goes, yeah. I'll tell you what happened that night. Cancers were healed. You cannot imagine the miracles that happened. And then the word about Emma got out. And then there's always those people, I don't believe that. Well, you won't see it. You understand that? You have to believe it to see it. John 11:40. John 11:40, Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see? Skepticism says, I ain't believing it till I see it. Jesus says, believe it in order to see it. So if you want to see, God will open your eyes to see. Second Kings 6:16-17 says, oh, open his eyes that he may see, and instantly he could see into the realm of the Spirit. You believe that? Yeah, that's what he says. Look!
Okay, you heard it for yourself. That was Bobby Connor at Bethel Church in Redding, California, admitting that Bob Jones talked about the Emma angel, seeing the Emma angel, female angel in a service, that there were going to be healings there because an angel was there. What happened to Jesus being there? What happened to the scriptures where he said, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there? In the midst. Is that not enough? I don't even get this. That whole conversation right there that he just, that whole 3 minutes plus that he just talked about, this conversation with Bob, was about a female angel appearing in the service and then healings appearing, and the name of Jesus is not even mentioned. And yet the Bible says that it is by the stripes that Jesus took on our back that we are healed, that Jesus is the healer. He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. It's through him. I don't look to an angel. I know these people, they try to pull up John chapter 5 when an angel came down and troubled the waters at the pool of Bethesda. But here, let's listen to something here. First of all, it doesn't say the angel healed anybody. The angel just troubled the waters. The healing power belongs to God. Mm-hmm. But second of all, we've entered into, that was under the old covenant, we've entered into a new covenant. So when Jesus took the beating, the cat of nine tails, the whipping on his back, it says, and when he took our sins in his body on the cross, he's our healer. God, isn't it all about him? I don't know. I mean, here I am. I'm charismatic Pentecostal. I believe in angels. I believe angels can appear to people and give them messages. I believe in visions and dreams. I believe in divine healing, and the power of God has not changed. But isn't the focus supposed to be on Jesus
for the Christian? 100%. Doesn't it seem like this is maybe maybe I'm just coming up with this term myself, but you know, when Jones is speaking about Emma, and even when Todd Bentley does, it almost seems like it's a form of suggestive visualization.
It does sound like that.
It really does.
There is a thing called guided imagery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it just screams to me.
Right. Well, here we've got another clip. Now, this is another minister, a guy named Jeff Jansen. He is the founder of whatever Global Fire Ministries. He moves in the same circles with these prophetic people. I don't really know a whole lot about him. I don't care. Wasn't even looking for him. Didn't even know who he was when I saw his video on YouTube. But he also claims to have had an encounter with this Emma angel. He's got a big ministry. We'll talk about him a little bit more. But let's hear the clip. This is Jeff Jansen. Travels all over the world, global ministry, in the modern prophetic movement. Here's him talking about this angel named Emma. This is Jeff Jansen of Global Fire Ministries talking about a female angel named Emma. Here we go.
Maybe not on that one. We're having a little technical problem there with that clip. It says it's playing, but it's not playing. Oh, well, we won't play it. But anyway, he's another one that talks about it. We'll jump to another one here. This is something even more recent. Of course, you know, there's a guy that has a program called Supernatural, Sid Roth. And Sid, you know, he seems to be a good guy. I mean, I think he loves the Lord. I think he's hungry for God. I think he's a good brother. He has some good people on his show. Of course, you know, we've seen him with L.A. Marzulli and other people like that. I mean, he has some good people on his show. But recently, here's another guy that this is even more recent than the Jeff Jansen talking about Emma. But this is a guy named James Durham. Of course, this guy is into talking about we can visit the third heaven and that he can teach us how to visit the third heaven and so on down the line. And again, I don't doubt that he may be sincere. He may not. I mean, again, these guys could be Jesuits. They could be Satanists. Some of them could be complete wolves in sheep's clothing and know that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. But again, sometimes we give people the benefit of the doubt. I know a brother that's met this man and says that he gave him a prophetic word that was accurate. But I told him, I said, an accurate word does not guarantee that someone is truly from God. I'm going to remind everybody, go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and down there we see where Paul said he went to Philippi there, I believe it was, but when he entered into the chief city there of Macedonia, it says that a woman followed them who began to cry, and it said followed Paul and his company many days and said these words, said, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." So this woman started following, you know, Paul's company, his missionary team, and the people who were getting saved and the church that was getting started there. And so this woman was following them and said she did this many days. And she would give this word, this prophetic word. She would say, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." And at first, Paul probably thought, well, praise God, you know, she gets it. Her word was true. It was true. And, of course, the gospel that Paul preached or the way of salvation that Paul preached was Jesus. So in a sense, this woman was speaking the truth and saying that the gospel, what Paul preached, was the way of salvation. So she wasn't even speaking a lie. She wasn't speaking a deception. And it said she did this for many days. But then Paul, being grieved in his spirit finally discerned, the Holy Spirit in his spirit, I should say, finally discerned that this woman was operating out of a demonic spirit. And it says she had a spirit of divination. And so Paul realized that what she was doing was she was trying to infiltrate his ministry, to contaminate his ministry. And she was saying the right things so she could get in place. And so he bound the spirits, he cast the spirits of divination out of her. And, of course, that stopped what they were trying to do. But hear what I'm saying. Just because a prophet may say the right words or even give you an accurate word or even encourage you or even point you to the gospel of Jesus Christ does not mean they're operating in the true Holy Spirit. They could be operating in a false spirit and deceiving us or pretending to be something that they're not so that they can get in among us. We're going to play a clip here. This is James Durham. First of all, I'm going to play Sid Roth's intro for him on his program, Supernatural. And then we're going to listen to him. And you're going to notice, if you pay attention, that during his prayer, James Durham actually prays to angels. He doesn't pray to the Lord. He prays to the angels. And he talks about angels of healing. And anyway, but let's try this. Let's see if our clip will work here. We're going to play... This is James Durham, Sid Roth's intro, and then we'll go right into James Durham praying to angels on Sid Roth's program, Supernatural.
Est has gone to heaven frequently, and he was instructed in heaven how the scriptures tell us that we can access heaven while we're alive as believers in the Messiah, and he teaches, and multitudes then begin going to heaven after they're exposed to its teaching. I'd be remiss before God if I didn't tell you, pray whatever God wants you to pray right now.
Well, right now I'd just like to say, Sid, that over and over I've experienced angels coming into our presence. And there are holiness angels that have come into the presence. They started coming in this afternoon. They're still moving in. And those angels are touching people right here, right now. And I believe that they're coming into the homes of all the listeners. And these angels are drawing people unto the Father, bringing them closer to the Father. I believe that tonight there's a lifting up to the Father. And when those angels began to manifest, healing angels also came. And I believe that we have healing angels throughout the room tonight. And the Lord is saying right now, we just pray over you and we release to you right now the love of the Father. We release that anointing to you, that you would feel a supernatural flow of the Father's love. And that when those angels of holiness come and touch you, we release them right now to touch you and lift you up and draw you to the Father in heaven. And as those healing angels begin to manifest, we release those angels to minister healing. And I'm hearing that many people are being healed right now of severe headaches, chronic headaches. And right now, you've just been healed by the power of God being brought by these healing angels. The Lord said that upper respiratory infections are being healed right now. Right now, if you have an upper respiratory infection, just let that healing angel touch you. Release the power of God while the glory is manifesting and powerfully present here and in your home as you watch this. There's a healing in the abdominal region for people receiving it right now. For all kinds of different issues in the bowels, chronic problems are being healed right now by those healing angels that are coming to you. So right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we release that anointing for healing and for holiness, and we ask those angels, give to people what God sent you to give. We receive it, and we believe it in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Well, there you heard it for yourself. Of course, it's intermingled with him praying. But, folks, got news for you. I don't see the term healing angels in the scriptures. Yeah. I don't see angels going forth healing people. I don't see angels of holiness touching people, making people holy. No, holiness comes through repentance and faith, walking with God. Again, I think it is a distraction from the name of Jesus. It's a distraction from the blood of Jesus. It's just a total distraction. What say you, brother?
Well, the way to the Father is through the Son, not some angel. And when he said that, it was like, are they just diverting off of the truth? And it is a deception through and through. But yet, here's something that just comes to my mind. You know how sometimes people will be told something to believe something, and they don't want to feel out of the group by questioning it or going against it. I think that sometimes when some of these people buy into this, that they don't want to feel like they're going to get out of that group that they've become a part of. Is that making any sense?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the peer pressure thing, you know.
Exactly.
That whole...
And I think if you look at people like Bentley, especially, I mean, granted, I mean, he's a very charismatic person, no doubt about it. But when these people get sucked into that, I think sometimes they really do feel a demonic peer pressure almost, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
overpowering. And you look, and this is what's so sad. Do I think that Todd Bentley was not sincere in what he wanted to do and sincere in trying to
follow the Lord and have a ministry. I really don't pick up on him that he's an intentional wolf. I think he has been just co-opted and infiltrated and contaminated and taken over by these people. And look what it did. I mean, I have the quotes from him where Bob Jones got in there laying hands on him, got in there laying hands on his wife. His wife starts having all these weird supernatural experiences after Bob Jones ministers to her. And what ends up happening? What ends up happening to Todd Bentley is he ends up in an affair. He ends up losing his family, going through a divorce, divorcing his wife, and remarrying this woman he was cheating with in his ministry. I mean, a complete destruction of his ministry, of his testimony, of his family, and then, of course, the debacle of the so-called restoration process. You know, they should have made him get out of that mess with that woman he cheated with, and you know what I'm saying, and should have made him at least try to make things right with his family. But I don't look at him as some vicious, malicious individual in this thing. I look at him as, boy, you got duped by some older, more treacherous individuals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He swallowed the deception. Mm-hmm. It was his ultimate derailment. Now, hadn't he, since all this came out with the Emma Angel, hasn't a lot of that stuff disappeared from his website?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been a trying to clean that away. But that's why I wanted to play. I read, of course. See, I took it from his website before it disappeared. This was back in 2008 when I took it off his website back then. And then, of course, it began to disappear because he began to catch the flack that he should catch if you're going to start talking about female angels and all these things. And then, but that's why I found today when I found Bobby Connor, who was, again, close friends with Bob Jones, just like Todd Bentley was, and been in services with him, I find him in 2013, just last year, in October, at Bethel, talking about Bob Jones and this Emma Angel, female angel, and this healing angel, and I'm sitting there going, they're still promoting this, and yeah. So Bentley may try to shy away and try to hide the fact, but he's never come out and said, you know, it wasn't biblical, Bob Jones was off, there's no such thing as female angels. No, he's never done that. He never said, you know, I've gotten mixed up here and in a prophetic movement that's a bit contaminated. So he's never really dealt with it like he should. And again, just admit, here's a novel idea for all of us. Admit when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm wrong. That's not biblical. It's not right. I got duped. Right?
Definitely.
God forgive me and help me get back on track.
Hey, I have a question for you. Was there any mention of the Emma Angel at the Toronto Outpouring?
Not that I know of. Not that I ever heard. I'm not saying there wasn't.
Yeah, I've heard anything.
I do know that some of the same people ended up going to the Toronto Revival, like Bob Jones and others from the prophetic movement, and that's when it began to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I've talked about that. I talked about that in the book about the connection to Bob Wimber, John Wimber of the Vineyard, who was the founder, father, apostle, whatever you want to call him, of the Vineyard churches. Once he got involved with these prophets, Paul Cain and Bob Jones and John Paul Jackson, and of course he got involved with Richard Foster, who is one of the now emerging church leaders who wrote The Celebration of Discipline, who's deeply involved in Eastern meditation with chanting and visualization and he was teaching that stuff back in the 70s. We even have churches here in the Auburn, Opelika area, and I'm talking about big churches. The biggest churches here have even passed out Richard Foster's book. So we're talking about this mysticism, this Roman Catholic mysticism coming from these monks and people from Teresa of Avila and on, and coming over through Richard Foster and then through Bob Jones and some of these others Even Rick Joyner promotes these mystics. And, of course, Mike Bickle promotes the Roman Catholic mystics in a big way in IHOP, in his bookstore. And he's got a four-part message on contemplative prayer that he pushes the Roman Catholic mystics. He even says one of the books of the Roman Catholic mystics about this type of meditation that's borrowed from Buddhism, he even says that he wanted it to be the manual for IHOP. So these guys are pushing this stuff, and they're pushing it hard. And it's creating a lot of spiritual experiences and a lot of things, supernatural things, that are not from the Holy Spirit, that are very, very dangerous. But what we're going to do here, we've been going long. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with our news segment. Pastor Billy, be ready for that. We're going to take a little break, then we'll do the news, and then we'll finish up the program tonight. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Billy Painter, and we hope that you're learning something tonight. Again, I hope you understand this is not out of a spirit of vengeance or a spirit of being mean or wanting to hurt somebody, but we need to be warned that there are false spirits. There are demonic spirits out there. There are things creeping into the church that can bring great harm and devastation into your life, and we're just hoping that you're warned and start paying attention. So please, I hope everyone takes this, from the heart of love and a desire to see people protected from this and not harmed. But we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Depicts exactly the same conflict. You know, the trick inflicted by the sick like a light transcendent, but it's dark demented, it just pretended, depending on beliefs, what you just expected. See how a rose has thorns and thistles? They hide among the truth to avoid the signal. They muddy the water with disinformation, persuading so many without a foundation. Some people like to listen to Ike and Sitchin, Jordan, Maxwell, and Tesseri, and it seems these people are on the same mission. And I was Christian, seek secret wisdom, tied to the lies in the movie zeitgeist, lost and denied the existence of Christ. I defy you to find any truth to the logic. Go ahead, just rewind it and pause it. Study their sources, they're all Masonic, and the Illuminati seem to be behind it. They know the public will buy any fraud that tries to deny the existence of God.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
These are some of the headlines that have taken place in the last week since we last had our broadcast. Each week I'm going to highlight a different news source, not just the news sources that you see on your television sets, but these are alternative news locations out there where you can actually get the news behind the news. This week I'm spotlighting Brother Rick Wiles from True News. And his website is www.truenews.com. Some of the headlines from the last week. Rush Limbaugh has been reporting that the death panel at work in the VA is in fact true. The waiting list that a lot of the veterans across the country have been suffering and facing, Rush Limbaugh is now reporting that it's actually a death panel type scenario. Steve King is reporting that the Democrats are pushing for amnesty mercenaries in the United States military. The Obama administration is to make 500,000 acres in New Mexico off limits to developers. The NSA is now being reported to be recording all cellular telephone calls in the Bahamas. The CIA is vowing to never again use vaccinations as a cover to spy after the recent polio outbreaks. In the financial sector, the overheating stock markets continue to raise a stock market crash fear. China is stepping up the speed of oil stockpiling as tensions mount in Asia and in the Far East. Last night there was breaking news of a coup d'etat in Taiwan. The military is currently denying this, yet some government officials and politicos are claiming that that is the case. The PLA troops spotted near China-Vietnam border. Once again, the escalation is continuing in the Pacific Rim. China has also sent 5 ships to Vietnam to evacuate their citizens. The IDF and the U.S. are currently rehearsing for Iranian missile attacks. The first steps are in the process of allowing the country of Japan to go to war again. On a science front, the new cash machines ushering in the technology of the chip, they are now coming up with a device that will allow people to withdraw money with merely the veins in your fingers. Brazil is currently unveiling RoboCop-type suits to protect their super elite police during the upcoming World Cup. In Sweden, they are already beginning to use palm payment scans at their point-of-sale systems, where customers and consumers can merely swipe their hand across a device for payment. Panera Bread has announced that they will replace their cashiers with robots by 2016. This next headline is actually a serious headline. I'm not making this up. The United States Pentagon has a plan and a report to stop the zombie apocalypse. Our tax money being well spent. Russia is currently striving to exclude the dollar from all energy trading. They are also not allowing, as of June 1st of this year, no more United States GPS stations in Russia. NSA documents detail efforts to collect data from Microsoft's Skype, SkyDrive, and Outlook.com sites. The EU, though, is ruling that Google must honor your right to be forgotten. On a lot of these sites, if you try to opt out of your information being garnered by secondary sources, it's next to impossible. Glenn Greenwald has a report out that the NSA is now tampering with U.S.-made internet routers. Iran, who has gotten one of the American drones that had crashed, has fixed this unit up, and now they have got it armed and ready to attack the U.S. warships in the region. The Satanic Mass that was to have been held on the campuses of Harvard was moved after much discussion, but yet it still did take place. And lastly, the Pope has recently said that baptism is for all, even Martians. Ushering in.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
All right, we're back. Good job, brother. Appreciate you doing the headlines tonight. I hope people will check out Rick Wiles there, truenews.com. He's got a lot of good stuff. Good guy there. All right, well, we're back, and we're going to get into this. We've got a little over 20 minutes here. We're going to try to finish this. I think we're going to try our other clip here in just a few minutes, but let's get back to the female angel aspect of this. Of course, we've already established that the prophet Bob Jones said that early on that the Emma angel is the one that helped birth the prophetic movement in Kansas City in the 1980s and helped nurture it. But something I found interesting as I began to delve into this subject was I found out that Edgar Cayce, remember we were talking about him earlier, the false prophet that claimed to be a Christian, taught Sunday school class, but of course got into his life, even though he saw, he had to have tremendous visions and he would have prophetic revelation, and he would give these readings and he would tell people about their lives supernaturally, and he saw supernatural healings, and he predicted many things that came to pass. And of course we know that he got off into some strange area, but he had an interesting experience when he was 13 years old. When Edgar was 13, he went to the playhouse that he had built in the woods to read his Bible. While there, he said that he felt as though someone was watching him. When he looked up, he saw a beautiful woman with wings standing in the woods looking at him. She told him that his prayers had been answered and asked him what he wanted most in the world. He told her that he wanted to help sick people, especially sick children. In the next few days following Cayce's encounter with this female angel in the woods, he discovered that he had the supernatural ability to simply sleep on a book and know its entire contents when he awoke. Not long after that, he began to have frequent dreams and visions. Now, isn't it interesting? He has an encounter with a female angel, a woman, a beautiful woman, he said, in the wood with wings. And all of a sudden, he has the supernatural ability to sleep on a book and then know everything that was in it when he wakes up. And then all of a sudden, just like Todd Bentley said about Emma Angel showing up in that church in North Dakota, he said once she showed up, this angel showed up, a prophetic well was opened and people started having dreams and visions. The exact same thing going on. And it said it seems that this female angel opened up a prophetic well for Edgar Cayce just as it did for Todd Bentley. Just not one from the Lord Jesus of the Bible, though. Now, I continued to study this and look at it, and during my studies, I came across another false prophet that was in regular contact with a female angel, just like Bob Jones, just like Todd Bentley, like this guy, Jeff Jansen, we're going to look at here in a second. And guess what his name was? This man who was in constant contact with a female entity with wings, an angel, or what he called an angel. We know it's a demonic spirit deceiving them, but it was L. Ron Hubbard. And for those of you who don't know that name, L. Ron Hubbard is the founder of Scientology. Who's into Scientology? Well, people like Tom Cruise and John Travolta and a lot of people in Hollywood. But anyway, the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, used to hang out with another guy by the name of Jack Parsons. Now, again, a lot of people won't know who he is, but he was a rocket scientist that worked for NASA and was a good friend and disciple of the legendary occultist and warlock Aleister Crowley. And what a lot of people don't know is that Jack Parsons had a house in California, San Francisco, California. Jack Parsons had a house where him and L. Ron Hubbard and Aleister Crowley got together to do rituals.
And one of the rituals that they did was what they called Babylon Rising. But these men were living together, involved in drug use and witchcraft and learning the occult arts together. And, of course, recently I heard a clip of L. Ron Hubbard speaking and admitting that Aleister Crowley, the most well-known Satanist in the world, the Beatles followed him, Led Zeppelin followed him, most people deeply involved. He wrote the book Magic and the Book of the Law, which is really what the Satanic Bible was based upon that Anton LaVey wrote. But anyway, what most people don't know is this house was full of witchcraft and occultism and sexual perversion in San Francisco, California, and it's where they started basically the Satanic Church in California back then in the 1940s. This was what the Eagles were writing about when they wrote the song Hotel California. And it was L. Ron Hubbard and Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons, the NASA scientist. But this is what Parsons told Aleister Crowley. And this is a quote. He was speaking about L. Ron Hubbard, and he said, Hubbard is a gentleman. He has red hair and green eyes, is honest and intelligent, and we have become great friends. He moved in with me about 2 months ago, and although Betty and I are still friendly, she has transferred her sexual attention to Ron. Although he has no formal training in magic, he has an extraordinary amount of experience and understanding in that field. From some of his experiences, I deduce that he is in direct touch with some higher intelligence, possibly his guardian angel. He describes his angel as a beautiful winged woman with red hair whom he calls the Empress, and who has guided him through his life and saved him many times. He said he is the most thelemic person. And, of course, if you know the word thelemic, that was the law of Aleister Crowley, which was do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Thelema, which means do as you will. That's Satan's law. And he said he is the most thelemic person that I have ever met and is in complete accord with our principles. Now, is it a coincidence that so many of these false prophets have encounters with female angels or so-called angels? I don't think so. I just thought that those of you would find that very interesting. And, of course, we see this also with this, you know, the apparitions of Mary within the Catholic Church. You know, this, again, very troublesome things going on here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kevin's over here distracting me with the red hair issue. But, yeah, we won't even get into that part of the discussion this evening. It would probably a little blow people's minds a little too much there. But, you know, we look at, you know, L. Ron Hubbard. We look at Edgar Cayce, Bob Jones, Todd Bentley, these people getting into the subject of angels and looking at them. Once you delve into this, you're getting a little you have to know, our Christians, you got to know, somebody starts getting into this realm, they start getting into contemplative prayer where they're meditating, where they're, you know, chanting or using repetitious phrases over and over again. They're starting to use visualization techniques where they're creating visions in their mind. If they start talking about all of a sudden after that, they're seeing all kinds of visions and dreams all the time. And definitely if they start talking about having encounters with female angels, big red flags ought to go up, guys. Big red flags. We're going into the realm here. If they're getting into those things, they're going into the realm of the demonic. And really, there's not even, we don't even have time to get into all of the things. But I do want to play. We're going to try again here. We're going to make another attempt. It's only 3 minutes, but we're going to try to play Jeff Jansen. I want you to hear the amazingness. Remember, we talked about the angel Emma. We talked about how Emma O from Buddhism is into gold and jewels and things of that. This is in ancient Japanese Buddhism now. And here you're going to hear a man that says he is a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ talking about this angel appearing. Let's see if we can get it to play.
a long scroll, round up bound type, leather down my mouth, and I ate it. It went into my belly. Council stepped aside, might step right up. It did the exact same thing. A scroll went into my mouth. I'm laying, sitting in the chair in this encounter, and immediately there was an angel standing in front of me. This angel's name is Emma. This was a beautiful female-looking angel. She held her hand out. Instinctively, I held my hand out, and she dropped a ruby in my hand. The angel Emma. And then she was gone. Now this ruby, wisdom was just there telling me how wisdom is better than rubies. Here Emma is standing in front of me, handing me a huge ruby. Now I've seen this ruby before. This angel had been in Coeur d'Alene dropping off gemstones, and up to that point there were 21 gemstones that had appeared. Well, we were going to another meeting. I was going to a conference in Yakima, Washington the next day. And on the airplane, I'm thinking about everything that happened the day before, how wisdom came, counsel and might, and what those scrolls were all about, and what was written on those scrolls in destiny for me. And then how Emma came and handed me this 50-carat red ruby. I had a sense of expectation something was going to happen. And Randy Demain was in there, along with myself, Kerry Browning, Terry and Jerry Copper, and there were some others that were there. And immediately the angels in worship began to come, and they were all over the building. There were angels that lined up the front of the building. There were flashes of lightning, and both Randy and myself were looking at these angels. Randy Demain is a seer as well, and he's pointing things out to me, and I'm pointing things out to him. And I began to notice there was a table of showbread off to the left-hand side, and as I was watching over there, I began to see this round smoke door began to open up. And I was just getting ready to turn to Randy and say, "Randy, look, there's a smoke door or a smoke portal opening up over there." And he poked me and said, "Jeff, look." We both saw it at the same time. And as soon as he said, "Jeff, look," out came the angel Emma. Now you can imagine what's going through my mind. So we're worshiping, and here comes the angel. So immediately I instinctively stuck my hand out because I knew what was coming. So I'm worshiping with one hand up, and I've got my hand up, waiting for the red stone to come. Well, the angel came up to me, walked right past me, walked past Randy, walked past the others, walked right over to Terry, and dropped this stone in his hand. And I knew exactly what happened. Immediately, he opened his eyes, saw the angel, screamed. The angel disappeared, and there were about 30 people instantly up there looking at what happened. And I walked over there, of course, and Terry's covered with gold because he gets covered with gold a lot. And he was looking, and there it was. The red stone was in his hand. I thought, "Lord, that is absolutely incredible." And we just kind of rejoiced a little bit. Everyone went back to their seats. I went back to my place. And as I'm on my way thinking about what happened, I'm thinking, "Lord, this is absolutely incredible what you're doing now. Emma's bringing stones. I mean, there's all these incredible things. Lord, what's going on?" And I couldn't help but thinking, "Lord, that's my stone."
Well, there you have. That's Jeff Jansen's account of Emma appearing to him on more than one occasion and bringing jewels and gold dust. And, Lord, I don't even know what to say. We've gone down the rabbit hole, man. We are really in Wonderland now. I mean, these guys can create anything, and it's amazing because they talk about the false prophets in Ezekiel 13. He said they prophesy out of their own spirit. What they see is out of their own spirit. It's out of their own minds. I want to read this. This is in I mentioned it earlier, but this is Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. And this is just very, very pertinent to our discussion. He gives this warning, and of course he's been preaching Jesus. Matter of fact, we're going to back up into chapter 2 of this and just show you what he's talking about here. He said in verse 1, "For I would that you knew the great conflict." This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae. He says, "I would that you knew the conflict that I have for you and for them that are at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh And he says that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the fullness assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And he mentions Christ. He says, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words. And so he talks about that, and he says, let's skip down a little bit. He says, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So here's Paul lifting up Jesus, saying he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. So he's lifting up Jesus, and he's saying, don't let any man deceive you. And in the same chapter, just a little further down, he goes into this discussion in verse 18. He says, let no man beguile you or deceive you or rob you of your reward. Now, what's rewards he talking about? The reward of knowing Jesus and going to heaven. And he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding to the head, or Jesus, he's talking about, is the head of the church, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. He says here very clearly, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Now, what's interesting about this is the word worshiping here is not the same exact word used for worshiping God or worshiping Jesus. This word just simply means a ceremonial observance. That's all it means. Don't let anyone get you into observing angels, focusing on angels and not focusing on the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, if an angel appear to me? Yes, an angel could appear to me, an angel could appear to you. First thing we should do is test the spirits and see whether they are of God or not. An angel that's not of God will simply, if you say, confess that, you know, you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and that spirit will, a spirit will not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it'll depart from you. I don't think anyone's tested, number one, this Emma angel by the word of God. First of all, that there's no such thing as female angels. But second of all, no one of these guys have ever said, really put the heat on them and tested this spirit. But we should do that. We should test the spirits. But he says, don't let these people get you focused on angels. And listen, I went back. I had a brother tell me this when we got into this. He said, Daniel talked to the angel and John talked to the angel. I said, yeah, they did. I said, but never do you see a man on the earth, a prophet, a true prophet, like Daniel, like Ezekiel, like John. You never see them in their prayer time talking to an angel or trying to get an angel to show up or trying to get an angel to do anything. In fact, you even see when Jesus was standing before Pilate and being questioned right before his crucifixion, he said, don't you realize, or it was with Peter, he said, don't you realize I could ask the Father for 12 legions of angels. But he would have to ask, even Jesus Christ, God in the flesh on the earth, said, I will not personally talk to or command or invoke an angel. The Father would have to send them. I would ask the Father to do it. So even Jesus wouldn't pray and talk to an angel. Even Jesus wouldn't get focused on that. Folks, if an angel comes to you, you better test that spirit. And if an angel comes to you, it's going to be with a message from the Lord, and that message needs to be tested according to the Word of God, the Bible, what's written. And for that matter, it's going to be a rare thing. If it does happen, not every day, not every other day. You know, somebody talked about, Bob Jones said he had 12 visions a night. Well, add that up in a month. It's insane. No. You just put yourself above Paul and John and Peter and Ezekiel and Daniel. They're not having visions, 12 visions a night, every night of their lives. They're not seeing angels every time they walk out the door or go to church. This is ridiculous. But these guys are the hot show in the church world right now. And folks are being deceived, and they're going up and they're getting prayer, and they're letting these people prophesy over them and lay hands on them, and they just have no idea that demons are just having a heyday in the church, in the house of God. What's that, brother?
I said they're having a field day. They're having a field day with their angel mediation stations.
It's unreal, man. It's really unreal. And, you know, even though I don't like people like John MacArthur and some of these others that are just anti-Pentecostal charismatic, they're just anti-supernatural everything, and, of course, they're off in their own la-la land. But, you know, here's the deal. They've got some points when it comes to some of the crazy stuff that we allow, the Pentecostals and charismatics that we allow to go on in our church services. Letting people, I mean, one of my pet peeves, letting people... You get people to come down to the altar, and then you call the whole church, let anybody and everybody come down and lay hands on people. Where do you see that in the Bible? You're supposed to only let trusted elders lay hands on people, people who are trusted leaders in the church, not just every will. Just come on down here. So if you got anybody with unclean spirits in the church, or they're a deceiver or a Satanist or a witch or messed up, they can come down and lay hands on people. And I know this. I have had it happen. I have watched it happen. The pollution and the demonic defilement in the church is rampant, and we just keep on going. We wonder why there's so many problems and so much junk going on. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this one out. We allow it in. We tolerate Jezebel, the false prophetess, in our midst. We tolerate occult practices. We tolerate prophets claiming to have visions and female angels and all this other stuff. Folks, I want to tell you, if you hear that, you better run for the door. If you hear somebody in your church or your pastor start talking about a female angel, or he brings in some prophet, and I'm going to be honest, it starts talking about gold dust and jewels and all this other foolishness that's going on. Can God do it? Yeah, God can do it. Is it likely that he's the one doing it with these nutcases that are talking about Emma? No. I'm sorry. It's not from God. It's a deception. But, folks, I want to just go ahead and stop for this evening. We are running out of time here. I hope that you've learned something. I hope that your eyes have been open. Of course, if you want to, you can get the Polluted Church and get all the information and research that God had me do, made me do. You can get it from us at deanodal.org if you want a hard copy, or you can go to ebook stores and get the ebook, and you can have all the info for yourself. But Pastor Kevin and all of those listening, God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odal. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook, Dean Odal Ministries.
What's that?
I was like, outro.